This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Cooper's handling of the permit process for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline is under scrutiny. Public records reveal that Cooper intervened on behalf of Strata Solar when that firm and other solar energy companies reached a stalemate with Duke Energy. Cooper and his brother once leased land to Strata to house a solar farm. Cooper has since divested himself of the land, but his brother is still in business with Strata. An oversight committee has been looking into Governor Cooper's handling of the permit process and the role he might have played in resolving the dispute between Duke Energy and solar energy companies. New reporting from the news service The Insider details the findings of public records requests. Insider reporter Lauren Horsch joins us now. Welcome back, Lauren.
Hi, nice to be here, Frank.
Somewhat complicated story in that we have sort of two seemingly unrelated episodes that get connected, and it's precisely that connection that's the source of the scrutiny. But can you give us an overview of what's going on here?
Yeah, so the Atlantic Coast Pipeline is a natural gas pipeline that would cut through seven counties here in North Carolina. And the final permits for this pipeline were issued on January 26th, 2018. Now, on that same day, there was a second announcement, and that announcement was for a $58 million agreement that would, you know, give that $58 million to these communities in the way of the pipeline to help with environmental problems that might arise. And that really, that was the first red flag for a lot of lawmakers. And in fact, you know, that February 2018, they brought in a member of Cooper's staff to the legislature and asked him about that. And he was new, literally on the job for maybe a handful of days, and he didn't know much about it. And so since then, you know, records have shown that there might have been some involvement where Cooper or his people stepped in and intervened on behalf of solar companies. And, you know, as you said at the top, Frank, his family, Cooper's family, has ties to solar companies. So, you know, there's just a lot going on. And my colleague, Colin, and I, and Colin's here with me, we've looked into it a little bit. You know, what I found is that, you know, Cooper was talking with Duke Energy days before the last permits were issued. And, you know, that's just a whole other wrinkle in there.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about how these dots might be connected. I'm going to introduce Colin Campbell, who is the editor of The Insider right now, to talk a little bit more about this. Colin, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
So far we've heard about a $58 million mitigation fund. This money would come from energy companies, is that right? And to somehow mitigate any of the concerns or perhaps any of the loss or environmental damage that might be done as a result of the pipeline. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct. They would pay into this fund. And initially, the plan in the agreement with the governor's administration was the governor would then appoint a committee that would divide up this money between economic development projects along the pipeline's route, businesses that might need to tap into the natural gas, as well as some environmental projects to help alleviate some of the pollution concerns that would come with the pipeline. That has since been diverted by the legislature, which was concerned that it was kind of a slush fund for the governor's administration to spend. So now once that money comes in, it will go to school districts along the pipeline route.
Right, because that was the first they'd heard of it. And it's, you know, at first blush, a kind of not a bad idea. Well, what if we bring the pipeline through but put aside a little bit of money for any kind of damage that might be done? Problem was the legislature hadn't heard about it, and they weren't quite sure how it'd be administered. Also, this money is coming from the energy companies. And now, Lauren, this is where this other, perhaps this other intervention may be playing a part. The fact that, how did they get this agreement, and why was it that energy companies agreed to do all of this? And it looks like there were some other negotiations going on nearly simultaneously. So that takes us to Strata Solar and other solar companies who were in negotiations with Duke. Tell us about that, Duke Energy.
Yeah, so I dug into the records that were released back in December related to this, and you found that Strata Solar had contacted the governor's office and asked the governor to personally speak with the Duke Energy executives to resolve this issue. And basically, to sort of sum up the dispute, there was a new piece of legislation that went through sort of expanding solar energy projects in the state, but there were some disputes sort of as it was being implemented in exactly how Duke Energy would allow new solar farms to tap into their power grid. And the solar companies were worried that the terms that Duke had rolled out were going to cost them millions of dollars, and they wanted Duke to sort of give them more advantageous terms. And so that was brought to the governor. The governor then meets with the solar folks. He has meetings with Lynn Good, the CEO of Duke Energy. And one of the documents that came out was a memo of possible options to consider as potentially concessions from Duke. And one of them was to resolve the solar issue in a way that the solar companies would be happy with.
No, I didn't want to
take...
Keep going, Lauren. That's fine.
I was to say, we know that Cooper spoke with Lynn Good, who is the CEO of Duke Energy, on January 17th. We don't know what he and Good discussed during that time. Cooper's spokespeople wouldn't, you know, give us details of that. But we do know the day before that conversation took place, another Duke Energy executive texted Cooper's chief of staff, Christy Jones, asking, you know, when Good could talk to Cooper. And he even said, you know, it felt like the permits for the pipeline were dragging. And that January 17th conversation preceded January 18th, when Cooper's senior staff members started asking for what they described as a TikTok, a look at where all the permits stood. And so January 18th is really when, you know, public records show that, you know, those were the final days before everything was approved and everything was set into motion for that January 26th final permit.
And to give us some indication of the concern of the Cooper administration about the connection between these two, that is, this agreement that would allow solar companies to do business in a less costly way. And here's where I was going to take the half step back. You have to understand that Duke Energy, because it has, in a sense, a legal monopoly, you can't just be a solar company and sell your electricity to customers directly. You have to use the grid that's already there. That's Duke. Duke has to agree to the terms of how you're going to get your solar into their grid. And that's what the solar companies were saying. This is too costly. Can we work out a deal? And this is this. And the accusation here is that the governor may have intervened on behalf of those solar companies to get a deal done. And there's the sense, the whiff of a quid pro quo here.
The concern is this was tied. Was tied to the pipeline project. Obviously, it's the governor probably helps with negotiations on a variety of matters. But the question was, was the Duke Energy permit for the pipeline essentially held hostage while this other matter was resolved?
And Lauren, you say when you take a look at the email and the text traffic going back and forth, the phone calls that were made, and the public records, everything comes together pretty quickly around that January date, right?
It does. It really does. And that was something we didn't even know about, that January 17th phone call between Cooper and Lynn Good, until a couple weeks ago, because I asked for records about 5 or 6 months ago, and you know, that was kind of the missing piece. Why did things start to seemingly speed up? And, you know, we don't know that there could have been other things, but, you know, that's really when we start seeing the end of the permitting process.
And we do have also that your records request has revealed, the fact that there was communication between a top staffer for Governor Cooper and Counsel William McKinley, quote, "Not sure we should sign the ACP, Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Not sure we should sign the ACP agreement unless solar deal works." So clearly there was a concern and a sense that these things were linked among the staff, within the staff of the Cooper administration.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, too. What's interesting in all of this is that, as a matter of public policy, you could almost imagine a governor saying, all right, look, solar energy is our future. We've got to get this thing done. Let's make it cheaper to do solar. Duke is in the way, but they want this pipeline. Hey, how about if I work out a deal? And if that was all public, and if there weren't some business connections, both him earlier, he had divested himself, his brother still, perhaps this wouldn't be much of a story. This would be an open public policy kind of a negotiation, right? Let me ask you, Colin, if I have my sense, what I'm trying to do is zero in on where the source of the controversy is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. There's the conflict of interest concern, and legislative Republicans in their investigation of this have certainly cited that. And then there's the issue of should the governor's office be involved in the permitting process for the pipeline at all? Typically, this kind of stuff is handled by the Department of Environmental Quality, and they have a very specific set of regulations they have to follow. And if an energy company meets all the state's requirement, follows all the rules, then there's an argument that the pipeline permit should have been issued no matter what, regardless of any sort of political issues going on.
So talk about, Colin, I'll stick with you for a minute, where the investigation is now, because the legislature is looking into this, right?
Yes, they are. There's a legislative oversight committee led by a Republican in the House and Senate that are looking into this and trying to get more information beyond what we have in the public records. They've hired private investigators, which is kind of unusual for the legislature, and those investigators are trying to interview state employees and others that may know something, get more documents together, and eventually they're going to have some form of public hearing down at the legislature to get more information on this. That has not been scheduled yet, so we don't know how far out we are from that date.
And Lauren Horst, that investigation has also become part of the story, the fact that those private investigators were asking Cooper staffers questions. Talk about the kerfluffle that arose over that investigation and what Cooper told his staff.
Yeah, so there's been some movement about whether these private investigators can talk to state employees, you know, people who work within DEQ, and some employees were told not to talk to the private investigators. And since then, the legislature has gone and introduced a bill to protect any staff members who would be, quote, whistleblowers. So they're working to make sure that if there is, you know, some impropriety, that staff members can talk to the private investigators without fear of retribution or losing their job or anything.
And
like
Lauren,
that.
I've only given you 30 seconds, but you've had a hard time getting some of the information that you've asked for, right?
Yes, it took me 5 months just to get his, you know, Governor Cooper's daily schedule for about a 4 or 5 month time period. And other people are seeing this issue, too. I mean, it took months upon months to get just the records that legislative leaders want. And luckily, those have also been given to anyone else who wants them. They're posted online from WREL.
Yeah, that the governor's administration has not answered questions about these records, including who's named in some of the text messages, more details about the governor's relationship with the solar companies. All those questions went unanswered, and apparently they're refusing to answer them, according to a statement they issued after our stories were published.
Colin Campbell is the editor of The Insider. Lauren Horst is a reporter for The Insider. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot.
Glad to be here.
There are links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. There's more to come on the State of Things. Stay tuned.